In years past, I would say that it's almost always been the case when I've been, where there's a thematic thread that ties a lot of the films together. I would say what was different and very interesting about Sundance this year was the major theme of the festival wasn't playing out in that the same story kept being told, as much as that Sundance has really doubled down on what they would frame as diversity and inclusion. But that has as much to do with who's behind the camera and who's in front of the camera than it does to do with the actual stories being told. Now, the stories that are being told, because you're getting different people behind and in front of the camera, does then kind of becomes affected by that. But I would say I saw films about a lot of things. Maybe even a greater diversity of stories were told this year than I've maybe seen in the past. But what was interesting is that, you know, it was over 50% of the filmmakers this year were female directors. That's never happened at Sundance before. And they've pushed themselves even to the point of they realized coming into this year that they had a blind spot with, you know, they were making grounds on who was making the films, but they weren't being very diverse in who was reviewing the films. So their press accreditations, they changed drastically this year. 63%, I think, was the number that was thrown out of the accredited press at Sundance this year came from what they termed as underrepresented groups. So basically not white guys, which was a first for Sundance. And for them, they realized, like, we can do all this work about changing who's making the movies, but if the primary access into what those movies are is still being run through the same kind of white male filter that was dominating the press accreditation they were giving, it wouldn't really have the impact they were going for. So one of the big themes of Sundance is trying to take its place of influence and do something with it, as opposed to who are the voices we're hearing from. So that was the big theme of Sundance this year. Off the screen was that piece.
So now on the screen, what were the highlights for you?
So, you know, some films that that people are going to be hearing about, the first one I'll mention is named Clemency. So that actually won the Grand Jury Prize Award this year. It's a death row film, but it's a film that is made, or that the story that it's trying to tell is not so much about the inmates who are on death row as it is the experience of the people who run the prison. In specifically the warden of that prison, and her experience of this, and, you know, her commitment to doing her job and believing that she's doing her job, but the real impact that having a death row in your prison has on you as a human being, as a fellow human being to these inmates. So, you know, that was a really powerful film that will get, you know, theatrical distribution. It will be coming out. It escapes me now who picked that film up. But that was a really, really powerful film. One of the things that I really appreciate, another film was called The Farewell. And people may know the rapper Awkwafina. She's done other acting, but this is the first time she's had a lead role. And the story is, her parents moved her from China to America when she was a kid, and she's really grown up. She understands herself as an American. Her grandmother back in China is diagnosed with cancer. And this was something I was blind to. I had no idea. It is culturally normative to some level in China to not tell an elderly person that they have cancer, especially if it doesn't seem like they're going to make it. That information is first given to the family, and the family decides whether or not to tell them. So they set up this situation where they're going to actually force her cousin to quickly get married to give an excuse for everybody to get together in China to say goodbye to grandma. But no, they don't want grandma to know that she's got cancer, and that's why they're actually there. So it's sort of this dramedy of this whole situation. But to get back to what I was saying about the whole, this diversity play that Sundance is doing, what I was really confronted with in this movie is that choice to not tell grandma felt almost offensive to me. It offended But what I realized, it was offending my Western understanding of how things are done and how easy it is to take your point of view, whether that's as a man or a woman or in this case, Western or Eastern, and make it normative and say, this is the right thing or the normal thing to do. And it's not, it's the Western thing to do. And there was times where they really dug into that and they explained why you wouldn't tell grandma. And it, on levels, it made sense to me. It still doesn't ultimately make sense to me. So, you know, it was a cultural disruption, and I really, really appreciated that. So, you know, that was another film. So you've got those. Those are a little bit heavier, a little starker films. But then on the other end of the spectrum, tonally, a film that got picked up by New Line, which is a part of Warner Brothers, is called Blinded by the Light, which it will make its way to theaters and people are going to love this movie. So the story is it's based on this Pakistani kid who lives in a blue collar suburb of London. And he also, I believe, moved to the UK from Pakistan when he was young. His family moved there. And so it's about them trying to sort of assimilate as Pakistanis in this British culture. But he is introduced to the music of Bruce Springsteen while he's in college, or while he's in high school, and it changes his life, right? He just becomes this insane Boss fan. And the film, it's an 80s movie outside of London with a Pakistani kid, high school kid is the lead, all about Bruce Springsteen music. So, I mean, put all that into the blender and add in this sort of La La Land kind of like choreographed song and dance numbers into it. It was a blast. I absolutely loved it. So it, unlike anything I've seen in a while.
Now you mentioned people are going to see these because they're going to be picked up. Are there movies that you saw that you thought were really well done that aren't going to get picked up, that are going to disappear?
You know, I would say out of the films that I saw, there are a couple that I know that are still looking for distribution. I still think mostly now, and this is the change in the industry, is that most of them are going to get some kind of distribution, streaming if nothing else. And where it used to be, these films were hoping to get bought by a Magnolia or a Sony Pictures Classics or a Focus or a Fox Searchlight. All of those, which I just named, did very little buying this year. They acquired some films, but not as many. It was all about securing your theatrical distribution and then a secondary piece of how you got the film in home, which was DVD or Blu-ray or VHS or whatever in those different times. Now, because of streaming, those things started to flip. A lot of these films have as much life after or more life after theatrical than they do before. And so that really became the big thing, which is why Netflix has gotten so involved in acquisitions at Sundance in years past, which was not the case this year, though. I think they bought an indie episodic piece in really no features this year. But Amazon they were the big buyers. They spent more money than probably everybody else combined at Sundance this year. So a film like Troop Zero, which I saw, which is this sort of Little Miss Sunshine meets the Bad News Bears playing out in the Girl Scout world. Loved it. Great movie with Jim Gaffigan and Viola Davis and Alice and Jenny play the adults, but the movie is really around this little group of girls who are this ragtag group of kids who, you know, they're Bad News Bears of the Girl Scouts, essentially. They're Troop Zero. That was the only number left. And I thought it was super heartwarming, and I really love the film. Amazon bought it. They do theatrical releases because they really believe in that. They think a film really needs to live and have that space before it moves to a streaming platform, which they also own. And so that's the thing for them, where they really understand the lifespan of a movie and they can do it all. Where Netflix just wants to do streaming, a lot of the other entities just do the theatrical release, and now you've got this powerhouse with inconceivable amounts of money that is Amazon going, yeah, we can do it all. We'll do it, A to Z.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.